Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
How was everybody's week?
Good.
Awesome. Great. Marvelous. Blessed.
Coming off a resurrection week.
Oh, wow.
So good. So good. He's still alive, right?
Yeah.
So good. He lives.
Yes.
He lives because he lives, we live.
That's why I have a
we
resurrection
life.
Tomorrow.
Amen.
Yeah.
What class is this?
Healing class.
Healing class.
Healing class.
Hallelujah.
Are we ready to receive something?
Yes.
You know, Jesus talked in parables, and he did it so that the hungry would hear. I think we need to take something from that. If you come in here and you're hungry to hear, you'll hear. So have a heart that wants to hear. And God's not hiding from you. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, we have hearts to hear. And we look for you, your word, to be manifest. Thank you, Lord, for a stumbling tongue. We look for your word to be manifest in us through healing that needs to be done in our bodies today. And through being able to go out and love people in the marketplace and touch them with healing wherever they're at. So that it glorifies the Father. Holy Spirit, have your way. We welcome you in Jesus' name. So this Sunday, we're going to start out. Jackie's got to teach short teaching for us, so help me welcome Jackie Snook.
Amen.
All right. Hi, everyone. This is healing class.
Good morning, Jackie.
And today I'm going to be talking about how praise can really affect your life, because it really can. It not only affects your life, but it affects God. It affects the devil, and it also affects God, because you're praising him. So the Lord showed me lately that I have not been thankful for just the little things in my life. I've been really taking it for granted. And so today the title of this message is Praise Changes Things. And it really does, because a few months ago, I was going through a lot of pain, and a man of God told me, he said to me, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Well, that's Philippians 4:4, and honestly, I was not in the mood to praise the Lord at all. I was going through something difficult, and I wasn't in the mood. I really wasn't. I wasn't going to do it. So, as I thought about it, I realized what he was saying to me was true. No matter what you're going through, you need to praise the Lord, right? And it is true. And actually, as I thought more about it, in 2 Timothy 3:5, being unthankful and not praising God is one of the signs of the end times. So, I mean, really, this is what our pastors have been talking about, that we are in the end times right now. And I was being unthankful and not praising God. So what do we put our focus on when we're going through difficult times? Well, yeah, we basically, well, for me, I know that I think about myself and what I'm going through. And I know others feel that way too. So what do? We look it up online. We think about what we're going through. And then we medicate ourselves somehow. And when I'm talking about medicating, I'm not talking about always drugs and alcohol or pills or whatever you're going to do to numb the pain. But medicating can actually be turning the TV on and just staring at it for hours and hours and hours.
True.
Or getting on your phone and looking at Facebook for hours and hours and hours. And I tell you, I've been guilty of both of those things, for sure. So I would say that we need to be aware that God lives inside of us, and he is with us always, even when we're going through difficult times. So when we do praise him and thank him, actually his presence comes into our life. I mean, we can feel his presence. And I mean, really, I mean, how great is that? His presence is him, right?
Yeah.
All right, so like I said, praise brings us into his presence, and where we make him bigger than anything we're going through. Not always easy, but really, we can do it. It's really a choice. That's what it is. We just decide to do it. We change our focus. Mm-hmm. So praise means, this is what it means in the dictionary. It said, praise means express approval or admiration, to offer grateful homage to God in words or song. So you can be singing, you can be praying in tongues, you can be thanking Him, and honestly, you can be doing this when you're in your car. You can be praising Him and singing. Now, you can sing to the music. What I like to do is I like to sing to Him in my own song. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't need talent to praise the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
You don't need it. But you just praise Him and thank Him for all the things that you're going through, honestly, because He is worthy to be praised. So, is worship something different than praise?
Yes.
I would say it is. And that's just because I've experienced it. So, the Lord, I mean, I've been missing worship. I have not been worshiping the Lord. And that's one of the reasons I think I've been so unthankful. Worship is something different as far as I'm concerned. The definition of worship is different. It says, a token of reverence, to fall upon your knees, to touch the ground with your face or your forehead, an expression of respect, to adore. So, you know how we come into His presence with thanksgiving and praise when we're having a message, right? We do that because the Lord told us to do that. And it also gets our mind ready to receive the word, right? Because we're singing the songs, we're listening to the band, and for me, I've been a dancer all my life, and so when the music's playing, I'm dancing, right? So what I noticed is that when I am worshiping Him, I don't hear the music. I'm not even aware of the music. I'm not aware of anything else around me except Him. And it's all your focus, and all my focus has been on Him, on Him. He and I are in communion with each other. And I've been missing that, honestly. So really, nothing is impossible with God, especially if you're worshiping Him. So we have it so good here in America. This is something I've been thinking about. Even though we're going through the darkest times that we've ever had here in the United States, we still have it so very good here in America. I went on a mission trip back in 2018 with Karis Bible College, and we went to Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is an island right below India. It's just a small little island, and they call it the Pearl of the Indian Ocean. It was an incredible trip. We got to pray for others. Now, when we landed, it was, you know, in the city by the ocean. It was dirty, filthy, right? And as we moved into the very center of that little country, it was all plush and beautiful, and we went into all these beautiful little villages, and we got to pray for people. And when I got an opportunity to pray for the little children, you know what they asked me for? They wanted their education. That's all they wanted. No toys, no nothing. They want their education. Do you know they have to work? They're little. They have to work with their families. It was just, when I got home, I just cried for days. Because I looked around my humble home, and I just thought, why do I have all this stuff? I mean, it changed my life forever. But, you know, you forget about those things. So it's brought to my mind again about how good we have it here. Now, they asked for their education. So here we are. We're in a class. There's several classes going on right now. We get education for free. We can come and go as we want, right? We have the opportunity to go. We are so blessed that we should be praising Him for as good as things are here in our country. It may not always be that we can gather like this, right? All right, so let's look at what praise and thanksgiving looks like in the Word, all right? So let's go to Acts 16. And while you're going there, I'm just going to just tell you the story before I get into it, but Paul and Silas were put into prison for coming against a demonic spirit of a woman who was making money, right? And what she was doing is she was fortune-telling and actually telling fortunes, so she was able to make the money. So with no trial and wrongfully accused, they were found guilty. They were severely beaten, severely beaten, and taken to prison. Now, the jailer was told to keep charge over them and to make sure that they didn't escape. So what they did is they put them in the darkest part of the prison, the dungeon. Ooh, okay, the dungeon, the very center. Now, I've been in England and I've seen dungeons. I remember as a kid, I was like so scared about the dungeon, you know. But of course, they were clean, you know, roped off, you know. But still, the dungeon was a very, very scary place. Now, they tied their hands and their feet. Now, the thing is, when they tied their hands and feet, I'm sure it was not in a comfortable position.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like this. You know, I mean, it was probably like they could have been hanging by their arms, right? All right, so they were not, you know, their hands and feet, they weren't able to comfort themselves. They were beaten, right? They were bleeding. Now, think about it. Dark, smelly, disgusting, you know, they couldn't see anything, or I mean, must have been terrible. But what did they do? All right, so 1625. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They heard them praying. Now, if you were in prison and you were in that situation, would you just be singing to the Lord? You probably would be going, "Help me, get me out of here." Right? But they were praising God. They were worshiping him. They were praising him. And they heard him. So, 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's chains fell off. Wow, right? And the jailer woke up and he saw that the doors were open. And thought it probably would be better if he'd killed himself because, you know, he was going to be in trouble for letting those guys go. But then Paul called with a loud voice and he said, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." How did he know that? He was in the darkest part of the prison, right? He knew it by the Spirit, right? And amazingly, nobody left. Their chains came off. The doors were open. These guys were murderers and thieves and terrible, you know, they were really accused and put into prison. And they didn't leave. That is the biggest miracle right there.
Right.
You know, wouldn't you think they would just take off? No, they didn't. So nobody left. And, you know, I believe they really were in the presence of God. Now, the buildings didn't implode. Nobody was hurt. They were just set free. Praise changes things. Isn't that amazing? So when you need your healing and you're hurting, your body is hurting, what do? Instead of looking at what you don't have, look to him because he has everything. Praise him that he has everything that you need. You have him living inside of you. So I say, praise the Lord, right?
Amen.
He is tangible. And your chains of pain and sicknesses will just fall right off. So here's another example from the Word. We're going to go to Luke 17:12. He went up to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, and he entered a certain village. He met 10 lepers, and they were afar off. And they lifted up their voice, saying, "Master, have mercy on us." And he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were healed. They went and they were healed. But one came back and with a loud voice praised and worshiped him. So Jesus said, "Were there not 10? Where are the 9? That sounds very Jewish, by the way. "You are the only one who returned to thank me. Be made perfectly whole." He came back to thank him and to praise him for what he did. He was probably on his face, you know, before him. And, you know, they were lepers, so pieces of them are missing. I believe being made whole, that those pieces came back and that his heart was healed and his life was changed forever. Wow, such amazing power in praise. So, you know, praise also affects the devil. He can't stand it when you praise God. He hates it. He hates it.
Yeah.
Now, you don't need to yell at the devil, but you do need to take your authority over him, right? Take your authority, and if you praise the Lord, the devil will go. He can't stand it when you praise God. So, some sicknesses, you know, are just inspired by the devil. He's the one who causes them. And, you know, it's the enemy who wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy you. So praise is actually a weapon. It's a weapon. Yeah. Even though you start in the flesh, and what I mean by that is you're actually starting from the neck up. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right? Just from the neck up. All right, but if you continue to praise him, pray in tongues, very important, you will start to worship him. You will start to adore him and to love him. And the devil could not stay. He hates it. So we were also made for fellowship with the Father. And we were created for his pleasure. So our praise affects God also. So how do we give him pleasure? We give him pleasure, excuse me, by serving him, of course. You know, we like to serve him and give him pleasure with our words and with our life. And really, anything that God has created brings him pleasure, which is us, right? We're made in the image of God. So he loves when we praise him. So I've been singing this song. It's an old song, and I've just been singing it over and over again. And I'm not going to sing it. But praise the Lord. He can work with those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you they'll fall powerless behind you when you praise him. Aren't you glad I didn't sing? I've been singing it, though. I can sing in tune. So how do we do this when we're sick and in pain? We just do it.
Just
do it. All right? Start from the neck up. Start to praise him. It will feel weird. It will feel like, oh, this is fake. Start from the neck up. Let it get into your heart. Let him come out of you. He's in you, right? Just decide to keep yourself focused on him and take your focus off of yourself because you're thinking about yourself, right? How much we hurt or lack, we look to the author and finisher of our faith, right? Which is Jesus. He's already paid for your healing. He's already paid for it. He's taken everything and paid for your healing. So start thanking him for what you do have. And praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jackie, for bringing that word. Isn't it good?
Yes.
Praise opens the door, unlocks the chains when we just praise him. If you need healing, take your focus off it for a while and just praise him. So I'm going to kind of springboard off of that and kind of go down the same avenue about how praise releases healing. Well, receiving healing from a heart of praise is what we're going to call this, okay? And I want to start off talking about David. The Bible, the Lord said in the Bible that David was a man after his own heart. Does anybody think they know exactly what that means when he says David was a man after his own heart? Can somebody elaborate on that for me?
He didn't bask in pride. You know, if he did something wrong, he always humbled himself. He said, well, I'm wrong.
Yeah. Sure.
He didn't get mad when his son died, you know, his firstborn son. He realized that he did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when he passed away, he said, he never got mad. Where most people could be cursing God.
Right.
Cursing God. You know, he's just chilling and he says, well, you know, what the Lord's going to do, the Lord's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he just always tried to honor the Lord no matter what.
Yep. Anybody else? Y'all are afraid to step out there. Come on.
he always took blame
for responsibility for what he did. He didn't try to blame it on the people or someone else.
Sure.
He took responsibility, and he realized at times he did mess up, but it was he sinned against God. It wasn't someone else.
He definitely wasn't a perfect man, was he? Let me tell you what I take from when I see when God says that he's a man after God's own heart. David understood God's grace and mercy. Now, we're talking David, Old Testament times, before the cross. He understood grace and mercy. We know this how. When somebody did David wrong, he showed grace and mercy. Now, yes, David did some other people wrong.
Yeah.
and he needed some grace and mercy, and he got it from God. But when somebody did him wrong, what happened? When his own son raped one of his daughters, and he had every right by the law to have that son killed, what did he do?
Just banished him.
Showed grace and mercy and just banished him, right? When Saul sought to kill him, what did he do? He had opportunities, right?
Right, he had opportunities.
He protected Saul.
He would not come against God's anointed because he understood God's grace and mercy, and he acted thusly, right? So to be a man after God's own heart, I believe for David, was that he understood God's grace and mercy, and this produced in David a deep heart of love for God. And listen, if David could do this pre-cross, what's your excuse? Right? Let's go to Psalms chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103. And we're going to go down the same line of praise and bringing healing.
Something comes to mind with what Jesus said. He said, you guys have kept the law, but you have forgotten mercy. And you know, that makes me think about David when you just said that.
Mm-hmm. David even understood the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was made for man and not man for the Sabbath.
I think why David understood so much more was because of all the time he spent with God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Psalms 103, starting at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your disease, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow. Did you see all the benefits?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go over them really quick. Who forgives all my iniquities. That's your sin, your wickedness, your depravity. I looked these up. He forgives how many of them?
All of them.
This is in the Old Testament, David is talking about this. Do you know God never changed?
Mm-mm.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what he's always been about. Who heals all your diseases. Sickness. This is healing class, right?
Yes, sir.
He heals all your diseases, your sickness, your pains. That's everything. Physical, mental, that's everything. All of it. Who redeems your life from destruction, which means corruption, the pit, or the grave.
Mm-hmm.
If you're bound in chains, he redeems you from that. Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, goodness, faithfulness, and favor. He crowns you with goodness and favor. David, Old Testament, he's talking about this stuff. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that you are renewed, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What did I do with my phone? I looked a thing up about this eagle renewing. I got some interesting stuff to tell you about eagles. And, whew, boy, it's a little screen. I had to take a picture of it instead of printing it all out. So when he says he renews our youth like the eagles, he's making a point, and I'm going to read this to you, how eagles restore their youth. Their youth is restored. It says, the eagle has the longest lifespan of its species. It can live up to 70 years. But to reach this age, the eagle must make a very difficult decision about its 40th year. The eagle's long and flexible talons can no longer grab prey, which serves as food. And its long beak becomes sharp and bent. At its old age, and heavy wings due to their thick feathers stick to its chest and make it difficult to fly. Then the eagle is left with only two options, die or go through a painful process of change. This process of change lasts about 150 days, so about 5 months. The process requires the eagle to fly to a mountaintop and sit in its nest, where he knocks his beak against the rocks until it's gone, until it breaks off. Wow. Sounds painful, right?
Yeah.
Then the eagle will wait for a new beak to grow back, and then with the new beak, he will pluck out his talons and then wait for them to grow back, and then feathers the same. If he goes through this process and survives, he'll live about another 30 years. Mm-hmm. Isn't God amazing the way he creates things?
Wow.
David just said, he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, I recently went through a thing over the past, say, decade, where I had a little sickness come, and it got taken care of. But after that, I started thinking, I need to start acting my age. I was getting close to 50 at that point. Now, if you knew me, you know I'm one of these guys that's in the gym all the time, right? Because back when I was close to 450 pounds, that guy never went to the gym. But once God brought me to a healthier place, I became a gym person because I want to stay healthy.
Amen.
Well, I started telling myself, after being sick for a while and God healing me, that I need to start acting my age in the gym. And so for many years, I started seeing the decline because I wasn't standing on God's word, I was standing on man's word. Mm-hmm. When you reach a certain age, things change, right?
No.
That's not what God says.
No, that's
he renews my youth like the eagles. You know, I got a hold of this verse a couple years ago, and I said, hold it, just a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know what 50 has to do with anything. Because my youth is renewed like the eagles. And I stand on that thing, and I decided I'm going for it. And I work out harder now than I did when I was younger.
Praise God.
And things are always going up, getting stronger all the time, not going down where a man my age usually does, now closer to 60. Praise the Lord, his word is true. Your youth will be renewed like the eagles. But I want you to notice what came first. When you saw this, those are great benefits, right?
Right.
What was first, though? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy. Can you hear, can you feel the longing of his heart? This isn't just a bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Like we do at church sometimes. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's for dinner?
I don't know.
David is crying out, bless the Lord. Everything in my body is screaming out, praise his holy name. It's the longing of his heart. He has this personal relationship with God the Father even before the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Praise came first and then the benefits. I'm glad he wrote it that way. I'm glad he didn't just write all the benefits and then say, bless the Lord. He heals all my diseases, takes away all my sin. Praise the Lord, bless him, holy. I'm glad he wrote it the other way around. Because it's from that heart that longs for the Lord just to love him where you find your healing, your deliverance. David loved God for who he is, not just what he could get from him, but made note of the benefits of that type of relationship. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right?
Yes.
If you really seek after him, you'll find a loving father who it is his great pleasure to bless his children to walk in divine health. If you're here last week, we talked about it, right? What good father who had the ability to heal you, would not do so.
Right.
Amen.
Well, good Father, bless the Lord. Every part of my body my mind, my spirit, praise him. That bless meant deep worship, like the deer pants for the spring, right? It means to bow down with your face to the ground, to revere, to worship. Let's go to 1 John 4, 17 through 19. See, healing does unlock. Praise and worship does unlock healing. Because when you are busy worshiping and praising with all your being, you're not focusing on you. It's not about you. It's about just loving him. And when you're just busy loving on him, he's just busy loving on you with healing and health. Like a good daddy that just wants to give good things to his children. 1 John 4, 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. This is saying as Jesus is, so are we. When? When we go to heaven?
No.
It starts now, right?
Right now.
Woo! Good stuff. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. I am so afraid I'm going to get Rona if I don't wear a mask.
Yeah. Right.
I can almost guarantee you're going to. Fear opens the door. Perfect love casts out all fear. We feel a symptom come on, and what happens? Uh-oh. Like Jackie said, we start looking it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Google it. What if instead you looked into God's word to see what he says? Perfect love casts out all fear. I don't fear any sickness. Greater is he who lives in me. Right? Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. God is love. It's not just that he does love or can love or will love. He is. That's who he is. When you see him as that, your heart's going to change.
That's an amen. Yeah.
Hey. God's love for us is just the same as his love for Jesus. As he is, so are we. God sees you just as his son. Remember last week I said, if you took tea and you poured sugar in it, what would you have? Anybody remember?
Sweet.
Who was here? Nope. If you pour sugar in just cold tea, all you're going to have is tea that looks like it has dandruff, right? But if you have hot tea and you put sugar in hot tea, it melts. It becomes one, right?
Then you have.
And this is a picture of us and Jesus. We're hot. We're sweet tea, right? We're sweet tea. Can't be separated. We're one. We are one. That's how God sees us. Your father loves you. Do you see him as daddy? Or do you see him as your judge? There's a big difference here now. It's a big difference on how you're going to worship God if you see him as your daddy or your judge. Who likes to go before a judge?
Nobody.
Anybody want to spend the day down in the courts in front of a judge? Even if you haven't really done anything wrong and there are fear involved in that? Like, what if they find me guilty of something I didn't even do? Right?
Right.
It's just nothing but fear.
Yeah.
How are you going to worship God if that's how you see him? How are you going to receive anything from him if that's how you see him? You will worship God the way you see him. That's a faulty way to worship. But if you see him as daddy, see a judge, if you seek God as a judge, you'll seek what's in his hands by way of healing, say, right? Because this is healing class. If we need healing, but we see God as a judge, we're going to seek him for the things in his hand, that healing, through our works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to be good enough. I'm going to try to quote the scriptures enough till God finally does it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We'll get our scriptures. We'll speak them over and over and over. Come on, God, I'm saying them. But are we looking at it through the right lens of a daddy instead of a judge? Right? Because if you're looking at him as daddy and you're quote, because don't, it's not wrong to quote scriptures. Trust me, that's awesome. Do it, but do it to hear his voice, so he'll speak to you through those scriptures and bring faith. Not because you're trying to get the judge to justify and give you something. If you see him as daddy, as a good, good father, you will seek intimacy with him, and the things in his hands will be a byproduct of it. When you're sick, when you get sick, it's a good time to start worshiping, but it's not the best time. It's starting from behind, right? Mm-hmm. The best time is to have a lifestyle of praise and worship, seeking him for the good daddy that he is every single day. Get up early. Get in the Word. Spend some time with him. Soak in his Word, because you know his Word is life to your bones. His Word produces health in your flesh. Now that seems weird, right? I mean, how does that work? This is a spiritual truth, man. This is how it is. When you read his Word, sometimes you feel like, I got my coffee there, and my eyes are still a little runny, and I'm just trying to be awake, but I'm reading. And, you know, I love those days when I'm more awake, and the coffee's fine, and I can read, and I'm not wiping sleep out of my eyes, but I don't care. I'm reading. Because you know what? As I'm reading, I'm feeling the Lord saying, health, life. Let's go, sweet tea. Yeah. Let's go, sweet tea. Yeah. It brings life. It feels invigorating. My body is invigorated through his Word. Because I got a good daddy. And when you get into his Word, when you get into praising him, it's like climbing up in your daddy's lap. And he just looks down at you with love and just wants to lavish good stuff on you. Right? Mm-hmm. A judge gives justice, but a daddy gives mercy and grace. What would you rather have? Justice or mercy and grace? What would be the difference between justice and mercy and grace?
Mercy and grace would overlook any fault.
Justice.
And then justice
is getting what you justly deserve.
Right. Okay. Is that what you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Justice. If we get justice, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, I am. I'm just going to put my hand out there, right? If I get justice, I'm not going to be doing real great, because my life hasn't been all that perfect in a lot of times, right? I'd rather have his mercy and his grace. Mm-hmm. Psalm 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. That is really true.
That's true.
What seems to happen, too, when we get sick and we're struggling with something, I don't care if it's a physical sickness, a mental sickness, whatever it is. It becomes like drying our bones out, right? It breaks your spirit. Your spirit's broken and you just feel dry. You know his Word, but it just seems dry. But a merry heart is like medicine. There's where the praise comes in. A merry heart is like medicine. If you take the focus off you and seek the daddy and not the judge, I'm guaranteeing you're going to have a merry heart. You can't help but develop a merry heart. And you find your healing when you stop looking for it in your praise. How you see God will determine whether you praise him as a father and have a merry heart, or a broken spirit that leads to dry bones. So that sounds simple enough. But have you ever struggled to get to that intimate place with God?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being honest, right? We're family. We can be honest.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sometimes it's hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you were there before, and all of a sudden now for some reason, maybe it's because of your sickness, maybe it's something else, but you just find yourself having a hard time pressing in, seeing him as daddy and worshiping. You know, to recognize that is a good place to start. Yeah? Because if we'll be honest with a daddy that's full of mercy and grace and just say, man, I'm having a hard time seeing you as daddy right now. My bones are drying up a bit. I need help. Simple as that. I need help. He'll be right there to help. Do you have something to add?
Yeah, I was just thinking too. It's not, you know, I don't have to tell him that I'm having a hard time seeing you as daddy, because I do. But sometimes the things that I can go through, you know, it's just so cumbersome until it's just hard for me to evoke praise. It's hard for me to, but what I've learned is that just to start it, even just look something little, just start it. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Just start there. And before I know it, I'm in full-blown praise and worship, you know.
You have to start somewhere. Good word.
That's it.
Good word. Mm-hmm. You have to start somewhere.
Even from his neck up is where you got to start.
Yeah.
Start where you can start. Mm-hmm. But be honest with God. Tell him, listen, I'm having a hard time. I need you to come into this thing. Yes. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I, for a good little while, was busy replacing my personal time with God with study for classes and things here. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing. I need to be studying because I want to give you guys whatever God has for me to give you. Mm-hmm. And I'm diligent to do a good job with that and honor him. But it's not right to exchange my personal time with him for that time.
That's right.
I found myself not wanting to go to the Word because it seemed a little dry to me. I could teach it. I already know it. I've been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. But it seemed a little dry to me. So I started asking the Lord, Lord, I want to love your word like I always used to. This is not good. This is not me. I don't like this. And he opened my eyes to show me. You've been exchanging the better for the work. And I started getting up early to get into the word and just spend time with him. I spent a whole year doing that year through the Bible thing. I'm not a big proponent of that normally because it's just supposed to be intimate time. And if you're forced to be intimate for a long time, guess what? Yeah. If somebody's forced you to be intimate with your spouse, the first couple weeks you'd be like, no! Yeah. After a couple weeks, it's like, I don't really want to do this anymore. Well, this is what, I'm sorry, it sounds a little weird, but this is what getting into the Word is like. It's intimacy with your father, just like a husband and wife. It's intimacy. Mm-hmm. And when you're forcing it, it's just dry. Just there's no life there. I did it because I wanted to do it. I wanted to get through it. It's not the first time I've done it, but I did it. But the value for me was to be not forcing myself, just to get in the Word, to enjoy him. I found myself reading more in a day than I did when I was trying to get through the whole Bible in a year because I was enjoying it. I was hearing him speak through the pages. Stuff I had read over 1,000 times and received meat from before, all of a sudden there's more meat there. It brings healing to your body to enjoy the Lord. If you're struggling, be honest before him. Just let him know. He'll show you. He'll take you down the path of getting back to that place with a heart of praise. If David could see that before the cross, how much more can we see it now? How much more can we draw close to the Father and let his word bring life to our bodies? Do you have something you want to add?
I have a scripture, but you're saying right there in Philippians 2, 12 and 13 in the Amplified, the 12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And verse 13 says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. So
it's not on you, right?
Do it.
If you're just honest with him and tell him where you're at, he does the work.
Yeah.
It's always about him taking over and doing it. If we will humble ourselves and just be open with him, he will not only change your attitude, but he'll do the work also.
Yeah.
Change from within.
Yes, he will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So, let me pray for you guys. And when I'm done, if anybody needs prayer, come see me. Jackie will be here also. We can pray for you. All right? But Father, right now in Jesus' name, if anybody is struggling with that special place with you, if they're struggling to see you as a daddy instead of a judge, even if they had been in that place before where they saw you as daddy but now they're struggling, or if they've never have in the past, we pray that your Spirit would just open their heart to see you as a good, good father, a daddy instead of a judge. That you take them through the process to open their hearts so that praise would arise from their every being to bring healing to their bodies as a benefit or a response, not that they're seeking, but receiving just because, a byproduct. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.